and hearing by the word of God. We've got a preacher who is certainly filled with the word of the Spirit of the Lord. I am excited to welcome back to this pulpit the Reverend Monin Duo, who is the daughter of our very own, the Reverend Cecilia Gofa Duo. Let's give the Lord a praise offering for the Duo family. Reverend Monin is here in the country with Sister Toa. Toa Rose, stand up. Sister Rose is the General Secretary of the YWCA of the Republic of Liberia. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Not only does she hold such a lofty position, but it is in the midst of the community, and when the Ebola crisis hit, it was the YWCA and the YMCAs and the churches like Providence Baptist Church that stood in the midst of that dreaded and deadly disease and spoke life into the lives of God's people. And so we salute you, Rose. God bless you. Rose and Reverend Monin and other guests are here to do work at the UN for a special conference around women's rights on the global level. And so they are indeed not only representatives for their own country, but they are humanitarians and civil rights leaders and human rights leaders, particularly for women, whose rights often are so subjugated and submerged. And so, and particularly in our developing countries like Africa. So Rose, continue to do the good work, and Reverend Mona, continue to do the good work, and all who are here. There's a delegation with you, stand up delegation, from the Republic of Liberia, who is visiting the United Nations and doing this great work. You may be seated. And so not only is Reverend Monin here by invitation of her country and the United Nations, but she's also here on assignment to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And anyone who has heard her preach the gospel, she can do that well. Amen. She is filled with the Holy Spirit. Her mother, you see where the Spirit of the Lord has come through her mother straight to her. Straight line. Reverend Monin is well educated and prepared, and prayerfully will be starting a seminary program sometime this fall. And so we look forward and pray God's strength upon her. But I'm going to get out of her way, because the best thing you can do for a preacher is to get them up to preach. Amen. And so I want you to stretch your hands to me, towards the pulpit, towards her, and say these words with me. God, bless me. Teach me. Convict me through your preacher, the Reverend Duo. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Put your hands together for the next voice you're going to hear. Is that of the Reverend Monin Duo, a daughter, an anointed preacher from the Republic of Liberia.
In Jesus' name. It's just big. That's all. I bring you greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'll ask that we all please stand as we go to our Bibles. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. We read it from verse 24 to 34. Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus. So she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in a crowd and asked, "Who touched me, my robe?" His disciples said to him, "Look at this crowd present around you. How can you ask who touched me?" But he kept looking on to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to his knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." Surviving in a quarantine center. That's our topic for today. Surviving in a quarantine center. Our Father and our God, we bless you. We thank you for today. We thank you, O God, for another opportunity to say, "Thus says the Lord." Daddy God, I pray for relevant words. I pray, O God, for words that will minister to your people. May more of you, O God, be seen and less of me. May more of you be heard and less of me. Encourage someone this hour, O God. Take your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. To the Reverend Armstrong, your pastor, and I would say now my American pastor. I have American connection now. The officers and members of this great church, I would like to once again thank you for the opportunity to share God's word with God's people on God's pulpit. Every time I get to visit, Reverend Armstrong is very friendly. He's very open with his pulpit, for which I'm very much grateful. And to this great choir, you don't got to put me there, but I'm in this choir. I am an associate member of this choir. Thank you for always blessing my heart and the heart of God's people. When I came to New Jersey on the Saturday of the dinner and I heard, sorry to say, I just love to hear her sing, I told her that was a very good welcome. And as God will have it again, she just sang beautifully. I want to bless God for you and that voice. I love your voice. Amen. Surviving in the quarantine center. How many of us, I know some of us, or every one of us, we do know what life in a quarantine center might look like. But how many of us understand what life actually is in a quarantine center? We all might have knowledge of the 200 girls being kidnapped in Nigeria. But how many of us understand what the parents of those girls and the girls themselves, what they are going through? We hear about Christians being killed. We hear about that, we see them. But how many of us fully understand what it means to be a Christian in those countries at such a time? When you live in fear, not knowing what the next moment will be. Many of us think that we are living life to the fullest. When in actuality, we are living a quarantine life. I've come to realize that you don't have to be in the quarantine center to live a quarantine life. Many people, even some of you on the sound of my voice, you are living a quarantine life without even realizing it. Because you are not locked up in some room. Or because you don't have many doctors telling to you that you have to be dressed up from here to toe. So you feel that you are not being quarantined. Few months ago when the Ebola virus disease was raging, all Liberians and those in the Ebola affected nations were being quarantined. But many of us didn't realize it. And like I said, because we were not the ones at the ETU centers, at the quarantine centers. But the fact that there were restrictions, and there are still restrictions on traveling to and from Liberia. The fact that other countries closed their borders to Liberia. The fact that international workers packed up and left. The fact that even some NGOs shut their doors. Those were signs of being quarantined. Some of you here, if I may, we all here, Americans, you are all being quarantined. Because if you cannot travel to Liberia like you want to because of the restriction, you are also being quarantined. When others' perception or opinion of you or their actions towards you is hindering you or denying you of free movement, freedom of speech and association, when you are afraid to take the next step or act, because every step or action of yours is being analyzed, is being criticized and judged. When you are not at liberty to use the gifts and talents that God has given you, or because there's someone watching just to criticize you. Those are signs of living a quarantine life. Living a quarantine center is traumatizing. It is frustrating, full of uncertainty, not being sure of what the next meeting or the next hour will be for you. But I've come to encourage someone that even in the midst of uncertainty, even in your quarantine state, even in the midst of life difficulties, even when all isn't going according to your plans, you can still come up as a survivor. I want to take you to a woman who lived a quarantine life for so many years. And at the end, she came out victorious. In Mark chapter 5, we see two miracles involving giving life to females being recorded. In both stories, the petitioners desire salvation and fall at Jesus' feet. In both, the person healed is called a daughter. In the one case, the daughter is 12 years old. And in the other, the daughter has been sick for 12 years. Both have been rendered ritually unclean. One by an illness, while the other by death. Yet in both cases, this uncleanness is boldly ignored. One case by the woman who touches the garment of Jesus. In the other case by Jesus who touches the girl's cups. The woman under consideration with this sickness is nameless. She has no position, no distinction. She is a ritually and officially unclean woman. But this woman has faith. She had faith that she could be healed by Jesus. Even though she could not touch Jesus in her condition. Because it was her duty to avoid transmitting her illness, her uncleanness to others, which could also be transmitted by touch to bedding and clothing. So resolving her problem, she decided that she would be cured if she could just touch Jesus' clothing. Believing that if uncleanness could be transmitted to clothing, then healing power could also be transmitted through Jesus' garment. Thus she said to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. From the text, two things stand out about the character of this woman. And if you must survive in a quarantine center, the first thing we see is determination. If you must survive in the quarantine center, you need to be determined. Determination is having the willpower, the strength of mind, the resolve or the purpose to do something. The Bible says that Jesus had just come. He has just returned from across the lake where he had an encounter with a demon-possessed man. Upon getting on the other side, the Bible says that a large crowd followed him. In that crowd was a man named Jairus. Jairus had a daughter who was sick. And he had come to Jesus, asking Jesus to go and heal his daughter because she was about to die. The Bible says that Jesus is on his way. He's on his way to Jairus' house. The same crowd follow him. Most times if you read the stories about the miracles performed by Jesus, you always realize that there were always a crowd. They were always behind him. But this time the Bible tells me that in that crowd was a lady, a woman who had been sick, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. In that crowd, there is a woman who should have been in her quarantine center. In that crowd, there is a woman who had been quarantined for 12 unbroken years. In that crowd, there is a woman who has been isolated for 12 years. There is a woman whose situation didn't seem hopeless. Rather, her situation was hopeless. There is a woman whose condition had rendered her unclean. 12 years, I'm told, she suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors. For 12 years, she spent all she had. Yet, instead of getting better, the Bible says she got worse. No human power, no skill, no human skills could cure her. No bill, no other God could cure her. She found herself going from one doctor to the next. She went from one specialist to the next. She went from one physician to the next. She went from one fortune teller to the next. She went from one witch doctor to the next. But instead of getting better, the Bible says that her situation grew worse. Like that woman, there's someone here, you've done the same. You've spent all you had. You've gone to doctors who knew that they couldn't help you. You've gone to doctors who knew that whatever you go into does not have a cure. But instead of them just telling you up front, they continue to schedule you, someone will say appointments, but they continue to schedule you for disappointments and therapies. And you've used up all that you have. And you're still the same. For 12 years, she suffered a great deal. For 12 years, she was locked in. For 12 years, she was lonely. For 12 years, she was denied such beautiful fellowship. For 12 years, she had no friends. She had no associates. Imagine living such a life. Imagine the torture that quarantine or Ebola victims, Ebola nations have to go through. Being neglected by family members and loved ones. We all going to die someday, but no one wants to die soon. So if you were confirmed as having Ebola, no one wants to come around you. I would say you are left to die alone. Not even doctors who want to risk their lives. If they were to feed you, they would have to put it on something like you can't fish in the net. And they will just like, throw it to you. Life is so sweet. No one wants to die. Imagine living such a life. When those you thought were your friends, they can no longer come around you. When your family turn their backs on you. All because you are contagious. Imagine living such a life. But again, just imagine what 12 years would do for you if all were well with you. Many of you have gone on that long trip, gone on a cruise. Many of you who have had families and friends. 12 years of enormous growth and development. But see this lady. 12 years of sorrow. 12 years of pain. 12 years of self-pity. 12 years of being bent over. 12 years of only looking at the feet of others. Because I believe for her to even look at the faces of others that were being tortured for her. 12 years of failed dialysis and therapies and every other thing. 12 years. But the Bible, she was determined. She was determined to be healed. She has never seen Jesus before. But she has heard about Jesus. I believe about the many things that Jesus has done. So the Bible says, even though 12 years she's been sick, when she heard that Jesus, I would say, was passing her way, she got up, saying to herself, I believe this is my time. Today is my day. She made her way through the crowd. But then the question is, she is to be an unclean woman, isolated. How did she find herself in the crowd? How did she get that far without being noticed? Or was it that she was noticed, but because of her situation, they all pushed back? How did she get that far? But the only answer that comes to mind is divine placement. Divine placement got her there. I believe she never knew how she got there. But because God saw her level of determination, he divinely positioned her to receive her healing. Some of us find ourselves where we are today all because of the grace and mercy of God. It's not because of something good we've done. Like I always say, we've messed up and we continue to mess up, but we just find ourselves going forward all because of the divine grace and mercy of God. So even though they never knew how she got that far, God knew about her. God saw her level of determination. An unknown author said no amount of snow can cover the hill of determination. If you are determined, no obstacle in your way can hinder you. If you are determined, no gossip in your way can hinder you. If you are determined, no setback, no stumbling blocks in your way will hinder you. Talking about determination, I look through my Bible and I see a man who had been sick for years. He was a paralyzed man. Jesus, again, is in his area. Jesus is in this house and he's teaching. He's healing. And again, the crowd is there. He was determined and his friends, they were determined. Sometimes we need good friends around us. So that when we are weak, they can be able to pat up on the shoulder or on the back and say, you can make it. The Bible tells me that his friends took him. And they went to the house. When they got to the entrance, there was no way to enter. They were determined. The Bible says that they went around. I believe they went to the window. Still, there was no way. They did not give up. They went on the roof. Because those days, that was how houses were built. And by the time they got up to the roof, I believe they were all so tired. But they made it to the roof. And there was this opening. And the Bible says that they let the man down. Seeing their level of faith and their determination, my Bible tells me that he was made whole. Still in my Bible talking about determination, I see this man who had been sick for so many years. Every morning he will wake up and go to this pool. Because of the story or the saying that an angel will come and stir the water. And whoever got in first will be healed. So every morning being tired with the situation, every morning he will get his weak self off his bed and get down. And he will say to himself, I'm going to the pool. Hoping and wishing I will have someone to put me in. But for all those years that he went, it was always disappointment. But because he was determined, that didn't hinder him. Every morning, that was his routine. But one day he got up from his bed. And I believe he said the same thing. I'm going today for my healing. I believe that someone will be there to help me in. So I see him walking to the pool. I see him walking in faith. And this time around, he gets to the pool. And he's waiting for the angel to stir the water. The Bible tells me that the master healer comes walking by. The Bible tells me that the one who walks on water comes walking by. The Bible tells me that the one who says to the wind, peace, be still, he comes walking by. And this time around, the Bible says, he went to this man and he said to him, do you want to be healed? Back home, we have this thing. We say that there are three kinds of human beings. We have the black, the white, and the librarian. I believe that man at the pool was a librarian man. Just as Adam in the garden was a librarian man, he was a librarian man. Because most times you hear say librarian, people can't answer a question. God asked Adam, where are you? I was naked. That was not the question. The question was, where are you? And you ask a librarian man one question. Sorry. You ask him, what is your name? He's going to tell you, oh, I live in Pinsville. Now, what is your name? So Jesus, he walks to this man at the pool. This Liberian man. Do you want to be you? I ain't got nobody to put me in. That was not the question. And that's how many of us are. We forget about the issue and address something else. God says to you, do you want to be healed? Instead of you saying, yes, Lord, I want to be healed, you talk about your limitations. God saw your limitations. He sees your limitations and he's asking you, do you want to be made whole? determination. Again, I say no amount of snow, no matter how heavy it may fall, can cover the hill of determination. The next thing I see, apart from determination, in that lady is a hope in God. You may be determined, but you need hope in God to achieve that which you want to achieve. Because it's only God that can make those rough places smooth for you. It's only God that can move those obstacles from your way. Someone says there is no medicine like hope. No incentive so great. No tonic so powerful as expecting something better tomorrow. Hope, according to English dictionary, is to wish to get or do something, or for something to happen or be true. From the world's standpoint, hope is longing for something that may or may not take place. But according to the Bible, hope is a deep, settled confidence that God will keep his promise. No matter what, no matter how long, hope says God will keep his promise. That is why Jeremiah could say in Jeremiah 17, verse 7, blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Hope is a force that keeps you moving. Hope makes you endure unpleasant situations, expecting it to get better someday. Hope makes you to persevere, to press on, to push harder, even when it seems impossible at the moment. Hope does not disappoint. There's a song by whom that says, I've never been disappointed one day. Since I joined the army of the Lord, I've never been disappointed one day. Most times the things we see as disappointments, they are just opportunities for us to be better. Better people. Psalm 125 verse 1 says, those who trust in the Lord, those who put their hope in the Lord, shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed but abide forever. You see, hope is not affected by how long. How long you've been sick. How long you've been jobless. How long you've been looking for that one right person. Hope is concerned about the future. What will happen? What do you expect to happen positively? I believe no one will ever hope for a bad situation to come their way. So though this woman has been ill for so long, she has hope that God could heal her. According to Jack Wellman, he says the number 12, she had been sick for 12 years. That the number 12 represents new beginning or starting afresh. According to Bible scholars, 12 is the product of 3. That the math people know. 12 is the product of 3. 3 which signifies the divine, the creator. And 4 which signifies the earthly, the creation. So when 3 and 4 come together, 12 is the result. So let me put it this way. When the earthly encounters the divine, there's a new beginning. No, you didn't get it. When the creation comes in contact with the Creator, your life, your situation can never be the same. Except that which you encounter is not the Creator now. Because we got so many gods around here. But if you truly, the creation, come in contact with the creator, your story is bound to change. So when this woman, the creation, when she was moving forward to meet the creator, when this woman who had been sick for 12 years, when this number 4 was going to meet number 3, she knew fully well that her new beginning was about to come to reality. So when she was going forward, through faith I hear her say, if only I could touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. She's making her way through that crowd. And I still hear her saying, remember now, Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house. That was his mission. She's on her way in that crowd. And I hear her say, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Yea, my homocrat. Why on others thou art calling? Do not pass me by. Why you are tending to Jairus' affairs? Lord, do not pass me by. Why you are tending to Sister X? Lord, do not pass me by. Why you are going to heal that brother or that sister? Lord, do not pass me by. Draw closer to her destination. Draw closer to her destination. I hear her say, oh God, my help in ages past, my hope for years to come. I hear her say, as she makes her way through the crowd, my God, you are able to do what no man can do. Because you are an able God. I still hear her say, God, you are able to cure what no doctors could do for me. Because you are an able God. I don't know about you, but I know that my God is an able God. Because when families were being wiped away by the family killer called Ebola, my family is intact. All because of the able God. Not because of something that I've done. Because if God was looking at me, I wouldn't be here this time. I hear her say to herself, as she moved through the crowd, you will never share your glory with any man. Because you are the Lord and that is your name. She makes her way through the crowd. And I hear her say, God, it does not matter how long, but you are able. You are able to accomplish any and everything that is going to come my way. I hear her saying to herself, God, you are able. More than enough. You are awesome in all of your ways. To your power, there is no limit. God, only you, God. Only you, God. Only you know what my tomorrow will be. Only you, God, knows what will happen to me. She's making her way to the crowd. If you must survive in the quarantine center, you need to be determined. You need to want to live. You need to tell yourself that I will make it. I will not die. And believe it that God will see you through. I hear God saying to someone today who is about to give up, who's about to throw in the towel. I hear him saying, hold on. Your help is on the way. I hear him say, hold on. Change is on the way. I hear him sing, hold on, for it won't be too long when I will shut up for you. I hear God say, I'm more than enough in your situation. I hear God say to someone, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I sent my word. I heal all of your disease. I hear God saying to someone, come ye disconsolate. Where'er you languish, for earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Earth has no sickness that heaven cannot cure. Earth has no battle that heaven cannot fight. I hear God saying to someone, many of us are too quick to give up. Many of us, we have dreams and aspirations, and we are just sitting on them because we don't think we will make it. We see huge mountains and obstacles before us, and we have concluded that our dreams cannot be a reality. We've had to come back on our dreams because of what someone said or because of what someone is seeing. We've had to come back on our dreams because of what someone did to us or what they may still be doing to us. But I want to let you know that those we consider successful, they all had their own rough times. They were criticized. They were denied assistance. Some were judged wrongly. Some were seen as nobody. But instead of going back on their dreams, they pressed forward. They pushed harder. They had to be up some odd hours of the night. They had to cry many days and nights. But because they were determined, because they had their hope in God, they made it. If you must achieve your dreams, if you must survive in whatever may be the situation I have placed you in, your own quarantine center, you need to be determined. Especially in a world where we have too many father rights and mother know-it-all, you need to be determined. Don't be too quick to get discouraged. Don't be too quick to let go, look back, and give up on your dreams. Don't be too quick to let what someone think about you hinder you, stop you from achieving that which you so desire. Some of us, where we are right now, because someone said something about us. Someone said you wouldn't make it. Someone said no good will come out of you. You believe it. And so you are sitting there, yes, no good will come out of me. Forgetting to know the person who said it to you would be the same one to say, ah, she's sitting down there. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, those who hope in the Lord, he will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. If you must survive in the quarantine center. You need to be determined. You need to have hope in God. You don't know what your tomorrow will be. But one thing you can hope for is that with your hope and trust in God, things will be better for you. Yeah. Lord, I know not what tomorrow has for me. It may have great mansions and palaces, or hardship and poverty. No matter what it has, I'm going to trust you, for you know what's best for me. Lord, I know not what tomorrow has for me. It may have great nations and policies, or hardship and poverty. No matter what it has, I'm going to trust him, for he knows what best for me. He didn't say my tomorrow will all be bright. He didn't say there will be rivers of tears to flow. He only said that I should trust him, for I never know what tomorrow has for me. Many things about tomorrow I don't see him to understand. And I know he holds my hands. So many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know, tomorrow, and I know he holds my hand. Amen. Amen.
Everybody standing to their feet. Everybody standing to their feet. My God, my God. Deacons and deaconess and clergy, we want to help you extend this invitation. For this preacher has preached out of the depth of her soul. She never preaches again. She has preached today. Lord has used her mightily. Very, very few of us will ever understand what it means to have survived Ebola. But to watch this sister preach, having lived what she lived through, and to stand on the promises of God, is a testament that if you have determination and hope, when your world meets God's divine, things begin to change. And so we thank the Lord for the Reverend Mona Dewall. Let's give the Lord a praise offering for her again. What a sermon. What a sermon. I shall never think about the woman with the issue of blood again the same after hearing this woman preach the word of God. Because she has preached, we have to give somebody an opportunity to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know your name. I don't know your situation. But I do know that this sister said it better than I ever could. Let your world meet God's world. And when you give your world over to God's world, new beginnings begin to happen. Somebody needs to hear that today. Because there's something going on in your family. There's something going on in your job. There's something going on in your body. There's something going on in your mind. There's something going on in your church. There's something going on your street. There's something going on in your community. There's something going on in your neighborhood that you've got to let go and let God have it. And if you're here today and you want to join the church, you already believe in Jesus, then great, come. We want you to come and give us your hand and give God your heart. But more importantly than a membership is a relationship with God. And if anybody wants that relationship, go ahead and sing choir. And as the choir begins to sing, we offer this to you. We offer this. We offer Christ.
We offer Christ to you.
Anyone here today?
Oh.